RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid, the audience is growing, but the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it.
For your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard Monday morning program. We have a lot to get to today. We have a very special show for you starting at 10:30 today. We're going to play for you. We're going to become Party Time for a minute. Y'all know the Party Time podcast. We were out at the Diamond yesterday for the final day of the Diamond. Richmond Flying Squirrels saying farewell to Richmond's home for baseball each summer. For the last 40 years, we taped a special edition of Party Time. You're not going to hear the whole thing because it's really long. We don't have that kind of time this morning. We've only got 2 hours, but we'll play bits of that. You'll hear from some Squirrels executives, players, coaches. Of course, Parney himself, Cheats drops by, lots of special guests. We think you'll enjoy that. So we'll spend a little time reminiscing on the Diamond. Very much look forward to doing that starting at 10:30. I want to get into Jaden Daniels. I'm going to do that in 15 minutes here. Jaden Daniels is maybe not injured. We don't know for sure, but I'm going to tell you everything I know. Grant Paulson, Grant and Danny is on the Fan 3 to 6 each night. I was on with Grant on Friday breaking that down, and he dropped a little nugget that I thought was very telling. We will dive in on that as we get you ready. It's Commanders game week for us. It's actually not Commanders game week yet for the Raiders. They play tonight at 10 p.m. against the Chargers. So we'll watch that, and then they'll get ready for a short week, long trip across the country to come play a 1 p.m. game here on Sunday. Everything lining up well for the Commanders off of a tough game Thursday night in Green Bay. Thank you to everybody who was part of our Live for Lambeau shows. Those worked out very well, I thought. Hopefully you enjoyed them as much as we enjoyed making them. I want to get to college football. We'll do a high school football wrap-up, time permitting. Dinwiddie taking down Highland Springs. Late comeback, overtime finish. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Big win for Dinwiddie. We'll check in on our other state programs. The Spiders went down to Chapel Hill to go visit Chapel Bill Belichick. We'll tell you how that went. Not great for the Spiders. On the other hand, I don't think anybody's raving about UNC's performance in that game either. UVA crushes William and Mary, and all the national results still to come, including maybe an Arch Manning injury, second maybe injury. But you know where we got to start this morning. As soon as that game ended, that Hokies game, as soon as it ended, at halftime, on Saturday. And so this is unsustainable. Brent Pry can't coach another game there. 28-0 to Old Dominion, and everybody else sees it like I see it, which is you can't let him run out of the tunnel in that Wofford game. You can't do that to him. You can't do that to the fan base. You can't do that to the players. They need to feel support, and the fans need to feel supported as well. And the fans were going to let him hear it if he had run out of the tunnel at Wofford. Seems to be as pleasant of a separation as you could hope for. Philip Montgomery, he's got head coaching experience. He slides into the chair. He'll finish out the season. And for Brent Pry, he released a statement. Here's what he said in the release. On behalf of Amy and our entire family, I want to thank President Sands, Witt, and the Virginia Tech community for giving me this opportunity to lead. Our proud football program coaching at Virginia Tech has been an incredible honor and a chapter of our lives we will always cherish. He thanks the players, the assistants, the donors, and his family. Blacksburg will always hold a special place in our hearts. We leave with wonderful memories and lifelong friendships, and we will forever be cheering for the Hokies. Brent Pry fired on Sunday as Virginia Tech head coach, and I liked the hire at the time. I still think he represents Blacksburg, that region, that tradition, in an upstanding way, and I loved every conversation I had with him, and I think a lot of the Hokie football boosters feel the way I do, which is that he was a guy we really wanted it to work out for, because he had the Justin Fuente era, and for reasons that weren't anybody's fault, Frank Beamer was the most outgoing guy on the planet, and Justin Fuente was Belichickian in the way he approached things, and it just wasn't a good fit coming on the heels of Frank Beamer. And Brent Pry was more of what Tech fans want and need and demand out of their football program. The results weren't there on the field, and a lot of that was discipline, penalties, all the things we've talked about over and over again for the last few years. Close games just never broke their way. But a lot of that, too, is this is a team that right now is uniquely unqualified to compete in the big money era. And it pains me to say that because we devote large portions of this summer on this show to talking about how the money in college sports is insane and absurd and it's not good for anybody. And you know, I've also devoted a lot of time this summer to Whit Babcock, the athletic director's request for $60 million a year more for football, and how he's right. That is the amount they need to invest to be competitive in modern college football. And I don't love any of the Hokies' options from here. You can try to find a way to get the money. You can try to find a way to join that elite club, but conceding doesn't feel right either. This is a proud tradition, and football's the thing that puts Virginia Tech on the map. As it's often been said, it was a Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University until Frank Beamer and Michael Vick showed up, and then it became Virginia Tech to America, in the same way Virginia Commonwealth University became VCU thanks to Shaka Smart. Sports are a university's front door. It's how people engage with them, and Virginia Tech's at a crossroads right now. They've got a lot of options, none of them good, because here's the thing. You've got that plan as well, and here's what's notable. Whit Babcock, let's set the stage first. Whit Babcock, athletic director of Virginia Tech, has hired the last two football coaches, and neither of them has worked out, and that's not necessarily his fault directly. I think he's made two reasonable hires and defensible hires. But at the same time, I don't think you can let him pick a third football coach. It's too important. There's too much on the line here. I don't think he's justified that. I don't think he'll be around long enough to do that. And that's a big part of it, too. The athletic director and the football coach need to see eye to eye. That's the most important thing at a big school. I don't know if Babcock's going to be there another 5 years. And so you're in limbo. You're in no man's land. Whit Babcock, under normal circumstances, I think would be there for a little while longer. But you kind of have to make an accelerated decision here, not just on the athletic director, but on the funding as well, because he was in the process of building this plan and building out this ask for support for Hokie football, which I think we'll go through later this fall. So if you let Whit Babcock pick the next football coach, that's asking for disaster, not just because he's picked two that haven't panned out in a row, but also if he leaves, you leave the athletic department in limbo. If you fire Whit Babcock now so that a new athletic director can come in, they're starting behind the eight ball because they got to hire a football coach right away. And the money piece of it is now dangling in the wind as well, because your new athletic director is going to be in charge of a funding plan that's half-baked right now. Is there Now, the beauty of the transfer portal world is, I think there are options that split the difference. I think there are options that split the difference that allow you to get where you're going, which could include, you know, figuring out who your next AD is going to be, figuring out who they want as their football coach, and making those moves while phasing Whit Babcock out over the next year, allowing him to retire or whatever the end game is there. You also could buy yourself a year. And I don't think that would be an unreasonable thing for Tech to do. Make Bud Foster the coach next year. Keep the donors happy. Keep everybody engaged. And you're not digging so deep a hole the new coach won't be able to get out of it in the portal, because you can buy a new team every year, and it's free agency every year, and college sports is insane. Let me call your attention to this statement. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of the game eventually, I guess, if we have to. But here's what you need to know. It was unsustainable. When you go down 28-0 to Old Dominion at home, it was done right then. And we'll play Brent Price post-game comments. We won't play the highlights, though, because they didn't load any to the website, which I don't blame our friends at the Hokie Radio Network for just going home and getting as much sleep as they could. We'll get back to Hokie highlights next week. They'll have some against Wofford. Philip Montgomery will get a first win as interim coach. He's not going to be the permanent coach, though. He shouldn't be the permanent coach. But also, he's coaching a guy in Kyren Drones who isn't an ACC-caliber quarterback. I'm sidetracked, though. Here's what I wanted to say. Here's the release from the school.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
President Tim Sands shares the following message with our university community, alumni, and supporters. Coach Brent Pry has been relieved of his coaching duties effective immediately. We appreciate Coach Pry's efforts and service since 2021. Unfortunately, the results on the field were not acceptable, and a change in leadership is necessary, etc., etc. I did not hear Whit Babcock's name in that. I think that's fascinating and maybe a little bit telling that this release was not sent out by Whit Babcock, but by the president of Virginia Tech, Tim Sands. And says he knows how important this is, and he knows he can't just take for granted that his athletic department is in good hands right now, because they may need to make very serious changes there. We will dive into all that. We have our special party time. Eagles, still the team to beat for now. Travis Kelce, rough day at the office for him after a great start. Cowboys, snatch victory from the jaws of defeat as the Giants snatch a defeat from the jaws of victory. Brandon Aubrey, man, how nice is it to have a kicker who can convert from 60-plus yards regularly? We'll never know. We'll never know. That's frustrating, but that's all right. That's part of the deal. Part of being a Commanders fan. Everybody's always got something you're chasing. And in this case, that something is a kicker who can reliably convert. Didn't get it out of Matt Gay last week. Commanders back on the practice field today. I want to get to Jane Daniels on the other side before we wrap up the NFL weekend. Indianapolis, man, break up the Colts. Sean Payton, he's fuming after that late penalty. I'm not sure I'm ready to live in a world where Daniel Jones is 2-0 and Patrick Mahomes is 0-2. But we will do our best to navigate that world. We will get this party started on the other side. It's the Monday edition, and you're listening to MP on the Mic on the home of the Commanders in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan, now 105. Well, Monday show's always loaded, and today is no exception. MP on the Mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard. Fun day at the Diamond yesterday, and here in a bit, we'll relive some of our favorite memories. 40 years of baseball in Richmond. Lots of special guests. We taped a great party time yesterday. We're going to play clips from that throughout the program. We'll get to that. We'll get back to Brent Pry and my assertion You can't let Whit Babcock hire the next coach, which I think everybody understands. This press release comes from University President Tim Sands, not from Whit Babcock. You've got a lot to navigate here. You got a funding plan coming in for landing next month. And you've got a new football coach to hire. And you maybe have an athletic director to hire as well. And I don't think there's any logical successors for any of those positions in the building. And that's creating a situation at Virginia Tech Athletics. Here's how Tim Sands ended that press release. Board of Visitors members Jay Pearson and Ryan McCarthy have been charged by the rector, John Rokovich, to work with university leadership and AD Whit Babcock to develop a financial, organizational, and leadership plan that will rapidly position the Virginia Tech football program to be competitive with the best in the ACC. That plan will be presented to the Board of Visitors later this month. The new framework for college sports will be fully established for next season. So this is the time to make a major move. Major moves coming in Blacksburg after one of the most embarrassing, deflating defeats in the history, modern history, of the Virginia Tech football program. Full stop. It was. And you can't bounce back from something like that. And Brent Pry did not. He was relieved of his duties as a Virginia Tech football coach yesterday. So we'll get to all that, but the Commanders are back in the facility today after their mini bye week. They still don't know exactly what team they'll be playing because the Raiders play tonight against the Chargers. We'll have that one for you late night. Westwood One coverage of Monday Night Football on The Fan. But I want to dive into Jaden Daniels because a lot of stuff is swirling and a lot of questions are being asked, and I want to answer those as best I can because I know all the players involved here. I was in the locker room, and Grant and I were chatting on Friday's show when a lot of this happened. So, Jaden Daniels got walloped in that game on Thursday night. As you know, I've been living in Conspiracy Corner. Now, one of the reasons Dan Quinn did not have a full week of practices leading into the first game week of the season, why he gave the players so much time off, is because a lot of dudes were beat up, maybe including his quarterback. He hasn't looked right through 2 weeks now as a passer, although he certainly looked sharp as a runner in the Giants game and early in the Packers game. So you can sell me that this happened in the Packers game. In the locker room after the game, Jaden Daniels had his leg wrapped. He was walking gingerly as he came into the press conference room. Then Grant Paulson reports Friday afternoon, you heard it here on The Fan first, Jaden Daniels had MRI imaging taken of his knee after the game on that would have been Friday morning when they got back to D.C. And so just to put that in perspective for you, that's not routine business. They don't stick guys in the MRI machine after every game. And so something's up there. I asked Jay, now he's doing after the game, he gave the I'm fine. That's all we've got from him. Last year, he played with a fractured rib and didn't share it with anybody until the offseason, and I would expect it to be no different here. He's not interested in talking about his personal health. I think what's interesting is, you know, Grant has that report. Nobody's confirmed it, but also nobody's denied it, and that tells me there is a big-time cone of secrecy happening inside that building right now. Because this is certainly a major story that all the names are chasing, right? Rappaport, Schefter, etc. Either way, if it was untrue that he'd had an MRI, you would have heard about that by now. So, and by the way, our guy Grant is one of the best of the best. He says something, you can take it to the bank. At the same time, we haven't heard any results. We haven't heard anything like that. There hasn't been any news coming out. That tells me it's probably something he's going to try to play through. Now, we've seen Jaden playing through injury. It's not the same as regular Jaden. So Cliff Kingsbury's got his work cut out for him, if that is indeed what's going on here. It's a big game against the Raiders in the sense that it's an opportunity to get the offense clicking and get right. Is it so easy of a game you could throw Marcus Mariota in and give him a week? I don't know about that. Remember, Marcus Mariota also got beat up, his injured during training camp. So he's not 100% either. So you got yourself a situation here in D.C. But Jaden Daniels is the one we've all got our eye on, obviously. It will be interesting to watch the next, 48 hours until Wednesday's injury report comes out. Dan Quinn chats with reporters today. I would expect him to be very tight-lipped about it. Jaden Daniels is certainly a private guy when it comes to injuries. I think he's going to want to play through this too, as he did in the Packers game. The question is, if he doesn't have his mobility, how good of a quarterback is he? And that's not something we've really had to confront so far. With the rib injury, a lot of it was throwing. He wasn't himself throwing, but he still had his running game. We've never seen Jaden without the ability to run, and we saw that for a little while on Thursday. Now, that Packers defense is so good, right? And you know, that should be one of your takeaways from the weekend. The Packers defense is absolutely Super Bowl good, especially with Micah Parsons. They were right on top of Jaden. Every time he tried to run, they were hitting him hard. And it was a brutal game from an injury perspective, man. I know there's that bias of, oh, Thursday night football, it's the worst. But then something like that happens, you're like, oh, Thursday night football, it actually is the worst. It certainly was this week. Very, very disappointing to see that many injuries pile up in a game. That's going to have very real long-term ramifications. You know, Austin Eckler's not in. I love Bill. We all love Bill. Bill is not a pass-catching, get-in-space kind of running back like Austin Eckler is. There are very real downstream implications here of these injuries. Dietrich Wise as well on the defensive line. These guys don't have a lot of depth. And you remember preseason, that was one of the things I said. They really did well on the injury front last year. And, you know, that's unfortunately probably more random than not in the NFL. And so I would expect that to even out. And that has evened out so far through two games. But Jaden's the big one. Had imaging on his knee. Ben Standig said he believes, you know, that they were looking at the knee. Grant Paulson had that report first. Not a lot of national action behind it, but we'll be monitoring it all day. We saw him limping around the locker room. We saw him wrapped up after the game. I would imagine the team is going to keep a very tight hold on this one. Wouldn't surprise me at all if we don't hear anything, even past Wednesday's injury report, if they play this close to the vest. But it's a real thing. It's worth monitoring. Without Jaden at full strength, this goes from a playoff team to a fighting to make the playoffs team. We had that game with Terry this offseason, right? Like, you know, Terry, how many wins does he mean? Well, there's one guy who means all the wins, and it's Jaden Daniels. And without him, this schedule gets really, really hard from here. So we'll keep an eye on that. But I just know, you know, we play panic level as well. My panic level on this is very high. I think if Jaden Daniels has a serious injury, it has very serious consequences for this Washington Commanders team, a team built around veterans to win now. And you see that the Eagles are now 2-0, wins, very respectable wins over the Cowboys and over the, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl rematch. They're the team to beat. You're playing for a wild card, and you may be doing it without your quarterback at full strength. Certainly worth watching. We're going to keep things local on the other side of the break, though. We're going to get back to celebrating the final game at the Diamond. Come back in hour number two for more Brent Pry chat. But first, chat about the Diamond. They had a big weekend there. They lost on Sunday. Didn't matter. People had a great time at the game. It was fun to see that. We'll be back right after this on your home of the Flying Squirrels in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan.
And be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM on an NFL Monday.
That was cool. I love that we handed over part of this show to Parney and crew, because they brought so much entertainment into our lives. For the last 15 years as the Flying Squirrels, the Diamond has brought so much entertainment into our lives. For the last 40 years in Richmond, and now we're on to start a new thing, start a new generation of baseball fans in Richmond. And I'm really excited about that, really fired up about that. And I think you guys will be as well as we get closer to next season. A wild day in the NFL, as they all are. The Bears stink. Ben Johnson, They had it out for him in Detroit today, yesterday, 52-21, the final there. Man, the Lions really stuck it to him. The Bills roll over the Jets. Steelers, man, Steelers do not play boring football games. It is always something there. Aaron Rodgers' interception in the end zone and the kickoff that they forgot to field that was recovered for a touchdown. Seahawks get them, get right with Sam Darnold. The Broncos also have not played normal games, trying to lose to Tennessee and failing. They tried again to lose yesterday, and the Colts got them. Super Bowl rematch, Chiefs-Eagles. The Eagles win in the game of the day, although the Cowboys really stole the thunder. It was a lot of fun watching the end of that Cowboys-Giants game, watching them punch back and forth. Really glad Russell Wilson didn't discover that thing about throwing it deep to Malik Nabers when they played the Commanders in week one. So his job's safe for the moment. I know it didn't turn out on the right side of the scoreboard, but I think you let him keep playing after that performance. Interception was bad in overtime, but the rest of it was some vintage rush. He was cooking. It'll be fun to watch him against the Chiefs and Chargers. That's a pair of games that he can do a little damage in, and I'll be excited to watch and see what he comes up with. We aired the Virginia Tech game Saturday night. It didn't go well. It didn't go well at all. Here is what Brent Pry had to say after the game.
We couldn't get stops. We had all of a sudden penalties became a major issue, and especially some critical ones that we just couldn't get any momentum going. We turn the ball over in the red zone. We get a turnover and we can't cash in on it. There were flashes in the game of the ability to run the ball. There was flashes of the ability to throw the ball, but not near consistent enough. Clearly, it starts with me. Coaches, players, everybody's accountable here. We got to get back to the basics and find a way to be closer to the team that we can be. Because that was I give Old Dominion credit and Coach Ronnie. They got a nice team. They gave Indiana fits. But we clearly didn't play well enough at all, not to even be in the game. So, questions?
Brent, after the way last week ended in the second half, how frustrating, what kind of explanation do you have for how it starts 28-0 in the first half tonight?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things again. You go three and out. You can't get stops. You get them off schedule occasionally, but then they get a chunk play. We're still leaky in the run game and not near good enough in the pass defense. When you load it up and try and secure the run, and then they're hitting balls on us down the field. And then offensively, there's flashes, but we can't get a consistent drive going. We can't make enough good plays in a row to get in the end zone enough. I was encouraged by things that were happening late. There's some guys offensively that can do things with the ball. But, it's a team loss. And we had some old linemen step up. We had three starters once Lath went out. Three starters out. And I thought those young guys, they gave tremendous effort, and they gave some plays a chance to keep it going.
That was Brent Pry's last press conference as Virginia Tech football head coach. The search begins. Season-long search. They're not going to hire somebody mid-season. Although, as you know, guys are leaving now increasingly early, even before bowl games, to come get situated, get their spot. They got an athletic director situation to figure out as well. There's a lot going on at Virginia Tech right now. A lot of big question marks around that program and around that team and around that athletic department. Is Whit Babcock going to stay? Doesn't feel likely when you see a press release come from the university president announcing the football coach relieved of his job. Money is a thing to watch here. Brent Pry making $4.75 million a year. That ranked 44th nationally last year. And Justin Fuente, they grabbed him from Memphis. He was not top paid either by the time he was done. In a lot of ways, the college football world has passed Virginia Tech by. And the question for them is, are they going to chase that greatness again? Knowing a lot of other people are chasing it as well. Knowing that a lot of other people are throwing a ton of resources into football as well. At NC State, at Georgia Tech, up and down the coast, UNC's hiring Belichick. Boston College certainly is not standing pat. Florida State and Miami, both investing big in college football. Can Tech keep up? They've got a good opportunity to restart here with an athletic director, with a coach that are football-centric, but an investment that big, $60 million a year extra, right, was what they were talking about, is going to have to come from the president, from the school, and it's going to have to be a concerted thing like they're doing at VCU. Like, you know, Dr. Rao is at the introductory press conference for Phil Martelli saying, we think basketball is super important. We think this is worth investing in, and we're going to invest in it. And Ed McLaughlin has the backing of administration at the highest levels. Get the resources you need to win, because we think this is really important for the university to put your image out there. That's going to happen. If that's going to happen at Virginia Tech, I think that needs to happen here in this next cycle. Bringing in an athletic director, bringing in a football coach who are on the same page, who have the resources they need, who want to put the Hokies back on the map. And the thing about the ACC is sneaky good. It doesn't get respect nationally, but week in, week out, man, Stanford's got Andrew Luck back there. Cal's got Ron Rivera. Don't worry about Cal. SMU invests a ton of money. You're never going to match SMU dollar for dollar. The Big 12 is, I think, fading. I think the ACC has a chance to stay relevant for a few more years in a power conference situation as being a respected foe. Louisville, very good at football. Virginia Tech is going to have to pony up to play that game because everybody else has seen what football does for a school. They've seen the effect football had on Virginia Tech, how it's transformed the school's image, how it's transformed alumni pride, how it's transformed that whole region on game days. And they want a piece of that. And now they see the college football playoff money that the Clemsons of the world are bringing in, and they say, wait a second, we want a piece of that for sure. We want some of that action because we see that if we get good at football, if we do an Indiana, right, if we do a Kurt Cinetti, we can slide into the playoffs. We can make $60, $70, $80, $90, $100 million just by making a college football playoff. Return on investment right there is insane, but you got to get there. And a lot of it is lottery tickets, too. You don't know which coach is going to be the one to break through. So you do your research. You make the best pick you can. And at Virginia Tech, it's got to be somebody other than Whit Babcock making that decision. Because 0-2, and I think he's closer to the end of his tenure than the beginning. I think Tim Sands, school president, sees that, too. It's going to be a fascinating couple months at Virginia Tech as they unveil a new program to put a lot of money into football. And then pick the leader who's going to take them there. And if you were watching Kyron Drones, you know why they need to do that. Chandler Morris is way better than Kyron Drones. Now, one interesting down-the-line implication. I won't steal the Who's Talking Thunder. Who's Talking is our UVA sports show. It airs tonight on the Odyssey Network at 6 o'clock. You'll hear it on the Fan. You can hear it on the Odyssey app worldwide. Who's Talking can weigh in on this. I think this makes the UVA Tech game a must win this year for UVA. You're never going to have them this down again. It's in Charlottesville. It's a pretty good team Tony Elliott's got. You got a way better quarterback in Chandler Morris than they've gotten Kyron Drones. I don't think it's optional anymore. I think this makes UVA Tech a must win next year for, or a must win this year for the Wahoos. I think if they don't, I think there's going to be a little hand-wringing at UVA. What do you mean we still can't match their level in a season like this? Which was not the case a month ago. You would have said that was more of an even matchup. Now, I think it's one the Wahoos have to have. But like I said, I'll leave that to the pros. We'll have plenty more on everything we've been talking about. Great NFL Sunday coming on the heels of a mediocre college football Saturday, but our final weekend at the Diamond, the main focus today. We'll dive into the Commanders once more as they hit the
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Practice Field will send you off to AWOD Radio at Capitol Ale House. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.
And be on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Monday morning, closing up shop here. We'll send you off to AWOD Radio with our friend AWOD at Capitol Ale House. Just got finished with a lovely 3-day trip with our guy AWOD. We were up live from Lambeau last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. The result wasn't good. The aftermath was even worse. Jaden Daniels, according to our Grant Paulson, who hosts Grant and Danny in the afternoons, had MRI imaging on his knee last Friday after the game. And he was hobbling pretty good after the game. That's the player they can't afford to lose. Without Jaden Daniels, this is a team that is not guaranteed to beat anybody in the NFL, let alone everybody in the NFL. And they got the Raiders this week. Raiders on a short week, coming off of a game tonight. They play at 10 p.m. tonight. Commanders on the long week. I think this is a very favorable matchup for them. I don't know what that means in terms of Jaden Daniels, though. Does that mean you roll the dice and play Marcus Mariota, give him time to rest? Does that mean it's a good chance for him to get right as a passer and not worry so much about the rushing game? A lot of questions swirling around Washington this week. Dan Quinn will address reporters here in the next couple hours. AWOD will bring it to you. If he says anything interesting, I don't think anybody's going to talk about it. I think they're going to circle the wagons pretty good on this one. They don't like to talk about injuries, and Jaden Daniels really doesn't like to talk about injuries. But this is a monster one, potentially. And, I mean, nobody likes Thursday night games to start with. So to have a Thursday night game where Jaden's injured coming out of it, Austin Eckler's out for the season, Dietrich Wise is out for the season, really sours that game and all the hype around that game. I love getting excited for games, but man, that deflation after the game, that was the real deal. We had our had our trip back Friday. I got back in time for the final weekend at the Diamond. We'll give one last shout out to Parney, Ben Rothrock, Anthony Opperman, and crew, who you heard many of those people, all of those people on today's show as we relived Parney Time, the Parney Time episode we taped yesterday at the Diamond, which will be available on the Parney Time YouTube. And, of course, everywhere you get your podcasts, as soon as that gets edited. There's some serious editing that goes into a Parney Time, because that dude's got a filthy mouth. I just got to say it. But I think you should be proud of what happened this weekend at the Diamond. It was cool at one point. I was up in the press box on Sunday, and John O'Connor, who covers the team for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, reigning Virginia Sports Writer of the Year, John O'Connor was up there. He was chatting with Tom Hodricourt, who covered the Brewers for 37 years after his stint at the Times-Dispatch, where he covered the Richmond Braves. He was at the first game at the Diamond. He was telling stories about how they were literally finishing building it the morning of the game. And they were there. City officials were there to issue the occupancy certificate just in time to open the doors for the first game at the Diamond. Because you remember, they built it in an offseason on the site of the previous stadium, Parker Field. They tore the other one down right after the last game of the year, built a new one, did it all in one offseason, an impressive feat of engineering that has stood for 40 years and thankfully now is ready to be retired. VCU baseball play next year, but it'll be used for VCU, and then after that, we'll get it torn down and we'll say goodbye. That spot, though, Parker Field to the Diamond to CarMax Park now, has seen a lot of baseball, a lot of memories made over three generations of stadiums now in Richmond. We'll be excited to cover that and to be out there for the opening next April. We've already got those dates. They haven't put tickets on sale yet, but you can look on the Flying Squirrels website. Already have the dates, the home games for next year. Never too early to plan. So we're watching Jaden Daniels today. We'll see about that. Coming off of an NFL Sunday. The Niners are cursed. There's just no way around it at this point. They're cursed. Another injury, another day, another injury. Kyle Juszczyk gets injured for them in a 26-21 win over the hapless Saints. Man, it just feels like some guys get it way worse than other guys. And Kyle Shanahan, it seems to be taking it on the chin over and over again now as the Niners
keep dealing with injuries in a competitive NFC East or NFC West. The Rams winners 33-19 over the Titans. The Seahawks win over the Steelers. And Arizona plays football as well. Yeah, they beat the Panthers. They didn't look good doing it. A lot of the teams that won didn't look good doing it. Cincinnati beating Jacksonville, they didn't look great doing it. Joe Burrow leaves that game with an injury. They've got their own issues to worry about in Cincinnati. Patriots, Dolphins, man, don't bet on either of those teams to go places. Drake May looked sharp picking on Miami. It is very possible Miami is the worst team in football this year. I did not think we would be saying that after two games, but it sure feels that way. After watching them a couple times, getting pantsed by Indy, and then needed everything the Patriots could give them for them to get that win. Broncos, very surprised losers. They commit a penalty on the potential game-winning field goal after the Colts refused to try to go for more yardage. Exciting day of football around the NFL. Always fun when the Commanders are off. We get to watch the whole thing, survey the whole scene. On the heels of college football, I said it wasn't a wild day of college football, but you still had Clemson losing. Clemson going to 1-2. There's going to be some hand-wringing there over Dabo. Is Dabo's method out of touch? Right? Some of the same questions we're asking Virginia Tech. Have they modernized? Georgia beats Tennessee. Man, Tennessee's kicking themselves over that one. They threw away a golden opportunity to win a big football game over Georgia. And you just feel that crowd deflate there going into the overtime. That was a big one. Statement game in Miami. Miami beats South Florida right after Florida loses to them. I think Miami's really, really good this year. Wouldn't surprise me at all if they're still playing at the end of the year when the dust settles. And Texas, Arch Manning is hurt. All right, today's show is devoted to Jane Daniels being hurt. Arch Manning is hurt too. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows what's going on. Did you hear, because we still have this from last week. This is Steve Sarkisian, Texas coach, when they asked him if Arch Manning is hurt because he looks like he grimaces every time he throws a pass. This is wild.
Arch Manning seems to be having some throwing pains by the
according
fourth
to
quarter.
Who?
Arch.
Arch said that to you?
No.
Oh, according to who?
It just looked like he was...
He doesn't have any.
Is there an explanation to why it looked like that?
I don't know. I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Sark, you talk.
Yeah, in the annals of answers you give to deflect from having to answer the real question, that's not going to go in the Hall of Fame for sure. I don't know what face you make when you go to the bathroom. We're asking about why Arch Manning looks like he's hurt. Is he peeing his pants every time he throws? I have a lot of follow-up questions that I won't be asking. It looked more obvious on Saturday for sure. They got some big decisions to make there. He's a gamer. He wants to play through it. But man, going into the heart of the SEC schedule, they got some big choices to make down there. So does Virginia Tech. If you missed our takes on Brent Pry, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. You can hear us take that on. They gotta get a new athletic director. They need a new football coach. And before all that, they need a plan on how they're going to invest in both those things because those are not cheap these days. Brent Pry gets $6 million to leave. That's pennies compared with a lot of these deals in modern college football right now. Hokies very much want to compete at that level. Very much don't have anybody in the building right now who knows what that really takes and need a university-wide commitment to spend a lot of money to get there. And I'm not saying they have to. You don't have to. But if they want to, you can't have one foot in, one foot out. You got to go for it right now because the schools that are having success are throwing a lot of money into college football. AWOD's got more on that. Man, good weekend to be a Monarch of ODU. Big win over the Hokies. 3 wins over Virginia Tech all time now. That can't happen if you're Virginia Tech. AWOD will take that on. He's a Capital Ale House. He's up next. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.